Welcome to GCI Sydney's worship service for February the 20th, 2021. Today's speaker is Daphne Sydney.
1 Peter 3, verses 18 to 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth, and good afternoon, everyone. It's a beautiful opportunity, and I really appreciate this time with you this afternoon. It would be lovely to be there in person, but come what may, we're very grateful for Zoom. At least we can connect, and that's the main thing, isn't it? It's just so lovely to be able to connect with you all and to see your smiling faces and appreciate this time with you today. Bill sends his love and his greetings. I'm sorry he can't be with us. He's had a bit of a cold, so he's not feeling great, but he's getting better. So he sends his love. And a big thank you to all of those who've organised the Zoom today, all the preparation that goes on behind the scenes. I know there's a lot of work, and I really appreciate the music and the readings and the prayers and the videos from Greg. That was wonderful. So I'll just give you a very brief church update. And as we heard from Greg, our focus this year is on the Faith Avenue. And he talked a bit about that, and I'm sure you'll be hearing more about that. You will be pleased to know that the income as of the end of last year, as of December 20, was a plus 11%. So I think this is pretty remarkable given our COVID difficulties, and it's a testimony really to the faithfulness of our God and to the generosity and faithfulness of you, our members. So each and every member is important and valued. And so please never feel I'm too old or I'm too young. Every part of the body is important and valued and loved, and each one makes a difference. Your prayers and support are very much appreciated. And if you wouldn't mind to remember the board meeting next week, that's February the 27th, next Saturday. So that will be our board meeting for next week on the 27th. So thank you for your prayers for that as well. Well, as has been mentioned, the theme for this week is the God who can be trusted. And right there, isn't that a beautiful solidarity that we have? We have a God who can be trusted. In the call to worship psalm, the poet pleads with God for help, appealing to God's trustworthiness. And we know that we have a God who is trustworthy. This week's message is about Jesus being led into the desert by the Spirit for 40 days. And these were extreme conditions under which Jesus was tempted. He was hungry, he was weak, he was suffering the extremes of a wilderness, he was alone and surrounded by wild beasts. Can't think of a much more extreme condition to be in, can you? Especially to be alone. But nevertheless, he held fast and he put his trust in the Father. And that's a beautiful example today of putting our trust in a God who can be trusted. Also, in the book of Hebrews, we're reminded that Jesus, our great high priest, was tempted in all points throughout his life. Tempted can also be termed tried and tested. So let's have a look there at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. If you'd like to turn there or use your phones. Verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin." That word sympathize means to have compassion for or to feel sympathy with. Tyndale says this is an explanation of his gracious and sympathetic nature, the beautiful, compassionate nature of God. Jesus has experienced all of our struggles and temptations and sufferings, and yet he did so without succumbing to sin. For this reason, we can come to him and we can trust in him as our source of help and healing, because we can't do it alone. It's only by his help and his living in us. And knowing that Christ fully, personally understands what it means to be human. And that gives us confidence when we bring to him our failures and our humanity and our needs. We can be confident that he understands us. And in verse 16, it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So we see Jesus there was in an extreme time of need, and he just had that faith and trust in his God, in his Father. And this really speaks to the aspect of trust. We trust more when we feel understood. We trust in his presence, one of compassion, mercy and grace. And when we pray, we know that we are coming to a throne of grace. How wonderful is that? We're not coming to a throne of judgment, but we're coming to a throne of grace. And we can feel safe to have honest communication. That's another aspect of trust, as expressed so well in the Psalms, as we'll see a bit later. And we can allow ourselves to be vulnerable with God, if you like. We can be very open with him and very honest about how we feel, knowing that we are not bulletproof, how much we need to depend on him. And knowing that God sits with us in our suffering. That word com is with, God with us, or parakletos, God with us. And always remembering that he sent us the comforter. As I said, the one to be with us. We are partakers sometimes of that suffering of Christ. That's another aspect of vulnerability, being able to sit sometimes in that suffering, but knowing that he is with us. And I know that there's been suffering through the bushfires, and some of you have been affected by that. And then, of course, the pandemic, causing isolation and sometimes loneliness. And we've seen a great rise in anxiety as a result of that isolation and loneliness. But it really helps us to know that Jesus has compassion and he's with us in our sufferings. And he encourages us to come to him to find the help that we need. And I love the scriptures in Matthew 11, 28. Verse 28 says, "Come." You know, it's a beautiful word, isn't it? Come, how welcoming. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's the beautiful thing that Jesus gives us, is that rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus welcomes us to come to him, to learn from him, for he is gentle and humble in heart, meaning we can come safely to him, we can trust him fully. And the preceding verse says in verse 27, "All things have been committed to me by the Father." So we can trust Jesus because all has been entrusted to him by the Father. And I'd like now to continue with the focus on Psalm 25, which is our reading today. And I thank you, Maggie, for reading that in such a lovely way. The Psalms are a wonderful place to go in this context of building trust, because they express a whole range of feelings and emotions and attitudes. Yet at the end, they're filled with praise of God. Kind of goes through the whole stretch of life, doesn't it? From all our struggles and difficulties to, in the end, God is to be praised. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, says David. They're filled with poems and songs of praise and worship. And in Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. That's from our heart. And, you know, worship's not just an academic exercise, is it? It says we are to love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And singing the psalms and the hymns helps us to do that. Psalms helps us with poetry and song. Psalm 25 is one of the acrostic psalms. So what does that mean, acrostic? That means each new verse begins with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, starting with Aleph to Tev, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So in English, we would say, well, that is from A to Z. What is the significance or purpose of this? Well, it's a literary device used to add beauty and form to a poem. The Bible has a lot of beauty and form, doesn't it? It's also an aid for memorization. You know, like we teach children ABC, helps them to remember it. It's poetic and it provides a framework for the poem. And it's also a sign of completeness, like covering something from A to Z. If we say we'll cover something from A to Z, we think it's going to be pretty complete, don't we, in its thought and in its patterns. And Psalm 25 is simply described as a psalm of David, so we know it's one of his. And right from the beginning, he talks about trust. Verse 2, it says, in you I trust, O my God. So this psalm or poem could have been written from a number of different situations, because we see David is so often battling, isn't he? Battling enemies and all kinds of situations. But it's a very moving poem and it's from the heart. And he's asking for the forgiveness of sins, the sins of his youth, to speaking about the troubles of his heart in the present. And notice his language. Talks about anguish, affliction, distress. I am lonely, I'm afflicted. The troubles of my heart multiplied with many enemies, and how fiercely he felt their hatred. Such a range of emotions there that David expresses. And as all this spilled out, we see an amazing range of emotions from the heart, and David showing that God can be trusted with every emotion. God can be trusted with every emotion that you feel. David trusted that his sins would be forgiven. And David trusted in a God whom he described as loving and faithful. And when we know we have a God who is loving and faithful, we know we can trust him. And David expressed that his ultimate trust and hope was in God. As Psalm 25, verse 1 says, David says, to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. And you see that lifting up of the soul. And you can only do that when you trust someone. That's very sacred space, isn't it? Lifting your soul and your heart. But David did that. And some describe that as a total surrender. When you think of a little child running to daddy, and you see the little child's running with his little arms up, isn't that a beautiful picture of how we can run to God with our arms up, our souls lifted up? And in that situation, a child is so dependent. You know, they need daddy's help. They're so trusting of those strong arms of the daddy. And as Robin mentioned before, so trusting of the hand that held them. And that was a beautiful story, Robin. And so secure and so at home. And going on to verse 2, he says, "In you I trust, O my God." And I'd like to read in verse 14 where David says, in verse 14, "The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them." And it's interesting to see that a few translations put that confides in as friendship, because friendship really is about confiding, isn't it? The NRSV says, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him." Or, "The Lord is a friend to those who fear him." And friendship like this can mean confidential intimacy and closeness, or being part of an intimate circle. And that's the sense that God wants to give us and that we can trust in. In fact, we're invited into a very relationship with God, into the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we see further evidence of this friendship in Jesus' relationship with his disciples. In John 15, verses 13 to 17, we find Jesus telling his disciples that he would no longer call them servants, but he said, "I have called you friends." And Jesus said this, knowing that in fact his disciples would soon even abandon him and even deny him. Yet he still showed such unconditional love and care, for he knows, or he knew their frailties, and he knows our frailties. And he still called them his friends. Christ shows this same love for his disciples back then and now today. In verse 12, he said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends." And Jesus Christ laid down his life for us as his friends. "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." So you see that beautiful open communication with Jesus, passing on whatever he'd learned. And communication is such a huge part of trust, isn't it? He trusted his disciples and they trust him. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command, love one another." And, you know, scripture says without love, we're just clanging cymbals, aren't we? That love is what Jesus is saying. It is his command that we love each other. And we can trust Jesus because he trusted the Father. Everything he learned from the Father, he made known to his disciples. And his authority was established because he only spoke what the Father spoke to him. Jesus laid down his life for us as his friends. He was open. He was vulnerable. His arms stretched out wide on the cross. That's a very, very vulnerable position. And shared all with us. So in conclusion, going back to the theme for this week, God who can be trusted. We see that Jesus trusted and communed with his Father in his most lonely and dire circumstances in the desert. Jesus was tempted in all things like us, yet without sin. And Jesus bids us to come to him, to the throne of grace in our time of need, which is practically every day, isn't it? We need him, and we need his love and his strength within us. Jesus is humble and gentle in heart. He welcomes us to come and find our rest in him. We can be honest and vulnerable with God and trust him with our daily struggles as we would a trusted friend. Jesus calls his disciples his friends. A trusted relationship of love and fellowship with a God who can be trusted. And we can trust Jesus because he spoke with authority. The Father had invested and entrusted all to him. And Christ has an intimate relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and we are included. We're invited into that circle of fellowship. And like the acrostic Psalm 25, we can trust God from A to Z. We can trust him in all things from A to Z. That covers everything. And in Revelation 1:8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And that is the Greek alphabet, the equivalent from A to Z, from beginning to end. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And that's absolute completeness, isn't it? Who is, who was, and who is to come. And we can have absolute trust in that, in his absolute completeness. So we can trust him implicitly, and he is a God who can be trusted. So God bless you all, and keep up your faith and trust in him. And we love you and thank you, and just trust that God is with you at all times, no matter what you're going through, what you're suffering. He is with you, and he will always be with you to comfort you and strengthen you. And we say amen and thank Jesus for his life that he now lives within each of us. God bless.